Why not try to use that? Perhaps we can correct the defect by putting Alpha to work, wake her from her slumber. A sudden burst of hope shot through Urbain. He practically jumped to his feet and strode out of his office, heading for the control center, straightening his ascot and buttoning his jacket as he walked. The center had the dreary feel of a mortuary. All the consoles were manned, as they should have been, although he did not recognize many of the faces. Volunteers, donating their free time to keep the consoles manned 24 hours a day. Volunteer or regular staff, they were all sitting morosely at their places, staring idly at their display screens or clicking listlessly through routines they had performed 100 times before. The ceiling lights were on. The room looked bright enough, yet there was no spark of vitality in the chamber, no animation among the men and women, no chatter back and forth. The only sounds he heard were the background hum of electrical equipment and the soft hiss of air from the grill set high in the walls. No one spoke. No one even looked up as he entered the control center. They were depressed, frustrated, merely going through the motions of working. Then Urbain's nostrils twitched. He smelled coffee and saw that someone had brought in an urn and a hot plate. The next thing they'll do is to bring in a microwave to heat their snacks. Attention, he called. Hear me. All heads turned toward him. Many of them were bleary-eyed from having worked night and day, fruitlessly. Check Alpha's propulsion system, Urbain commanded. It was checked just a few...
Check it again, he commanded. I want to make certain that we can start the drive engines without a problem.
You're going to move it? Stepping briskly down the central aisle between the rows of consoles, Urbain rubbed his hands together with real enthusiasm.
The creature will not speak to us where she now sits, so we will move her. Perhaps a little action will stir her to better behavior.
Most of the engineers looked at him with obvious disbelief. One of the women said in a stage whisper, "If it won't work, kick it." "The French touch," someone else muttered.
"I am Québécois," Urbain snapped, "and my sense of hearing is quite acute."
Several of the engineers chuckled guardedly. Urbain thought that doing something, anything, was better than sitting around like a collection of mourners at a funeral.
The icy crust that capped the frigid sea was breaking against the base of the bluffs. The dark methane slush that covered the ice chunks was slowly washed off them and sank below the surface of the inky sea, revealing choppy waves driven by the turgid dark wind. Titan Alpha sat on the flat, slightly undulating tableland at the top of the bluffs, unmoving. Then it received a fresh command. Review Propulsion System Checklist. Automatically, the command was routed through the central computer's master program. The command impinged on the primary restriction, but only marginally so. Reviewing its decision tree, the master program found that the command was allowable, so the computer ran through the propulsion system checklist. The task took 4 nanoseconds. Repeat. Review propulsion system checklist. The computer repeated the checklist review as commanded. 30 billion nanoseconds elapsed. Report results of propulsion system checklist review. This command was also routed through the central computer's logic circuitry. The primary restriction blared clearly, so the command was shunted to a subroutine for deletion. Repeat. Report results of propulsion system checklist review. The command was again routed as before. The primary restriction was again detected, and the command again shunted. 649 billion nanoseconds elapsed. During that time, Titan Alpha's central computer anticipated a command to activate the propulsion system. So instead of merely reviewing the checklist, it tested the diagnostic program and found that the propulsion system was fully capable of activation and operation within allowable parameters. No command came. The earlier inhibited commands were erased from the shunt circuit, as per the master program's normal routine.
It must be the main antenna downlink, Urbain muttered, bending over the shoulder of the propulsion engineer who was seated at her console. He noticed a bead of perspiration trickling down the side of her face. She was wearing a flowery perfume of some sort, but the pungent scent of fear, of utter frustration, was overpowering it. He straightened up and realized that his back ached from bending over for so long. Walking stiffly, he made his way along the row of consoles and stopped at the main communications post. He realized that every eye was on him. The control center was absolutely still. No one moved. Even the displays on the screen seemed frozen. "You are receiving telemetry from the comms system?" he asked the communications engineer in a quiet voice, brittle with tension. "Yes, sir," the engineer said, looking up over his shoulder at Urbane. "The tracking beacon is coming through, too, loud and clear." "Very good. Run the diagnostics program, if you please." "For the whole comm system?" Urbane thought a moment. "No, merely the receiving antennas, primary and both backups." The man pecked at his keyboard. Urbane noticed that his fingers were thick, blunt, the nails ragged and chewed down to the quick. The display screen flickered through long lists of alphanumerics faster than his eye could follow. At last the engineer cleared his throat and said, "Diagnostics completed. All receiving antennas fully operational." "Good," said Urbane. "Now I wish to send a very specific command to..." "Hey!" a voice yelled. "It's moving!" Without being told to, the communications man punched up the satellite view of Titan, with the blinking red dot showing where Alpha's beacon was located. The red pinpoint was inching across the screen. "It's moving," Urbane breathed. "Looks that way," said the engineer. Raising his voice to an angry shout, Urbane demanded, "Who gave the command to move Alpha?" No one answered. "Well, which of you did it?" Dead silence. The comm engineer cleared his throat again, louder than before, and jabbed a forefinger at one of his secondary screens. "Sir, here's the communications log. No one sent any command of any kind to the lander since you ordered it to report its review of the propulsion system checklist." He tapped his screen for emphasis, then added in a smaller voice, "Nobody said a word to the beast." "My God," Urbane thought, staring at the screen. "It's moving on its own volition."
Titan Alpha's central computer was programmed to anticipate certain problems and, within carefully preset limits, to act on its own. Even though commands from the control center usually spanned the distance between Habitat Goddard and the surface of Titan in less than 6 billion nanoseconds, there was always the possibility of some immediate emergency. A sudden fault line opening in the icy ground, an avalanche, an electrical storm shorting out communications that would require action before the human controllers in Goddard could react. Then, too, there were periods when the habitat was on the opposite side of Saturn, and commands had to be relayed to the lander through the communications satellites placed in equilateral positions around the ringed planet. There could be a lag of almost 100 billion nanoseconds under those conditions. Based on the latest commands reported by the main receiving antenna, Alpha's central computer anticipated that the propulsion system was to be activated. But such a command ran directly counter to the master program's primary restriction. The computer pondered this conundrum for more than 1,000 nanoseconds, then used its decision tree logic program to resolve the problem. Activate propulsion engines. Engage tractor treads. Automatically, the navigation and reconnaissance programs also activated. The central computer immediately became aware that the edge of the bluff loomed 3,712 centimeters ahead. Engage reverse gear. Maintain speed at 5 centimeters per second. Strain gauges and vibration sensors immediately began reporting data, comparing their inputs to the structural diagnostics program. The central computer decided to proceed. Titan Alpha lurched into painfully slow motion, backing away from the rim of the ice bluff, grinding over small round pebbles of ice, heading away